الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبعد الله عز وجل sent his messenger محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم with the complete deen to take people out from darkness to light as he describes in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah waliyu alladhina amanu yukhrijuhum min al-zulumati ila al-nur. Allah is the wali, the ally of the believers. He takes them out from darknesses to light. And Allah's mercy encompasses all of his ibads, regardless of whether they are male or female, or whether they were free or slaves. So the mercy of Allah came with the advent of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to raise all people from their darknesses to the light and happiness of Iman. And the discussion is about today is about the particular favors that Islam had towards women and the way that Islam equaled, made women truly equal to men at a time when they were truly treated as a piece of property like furniture, and it gave them a level of respect that even women in our time do not have it. Allah Azza wa Jal showed mentioned clearly in several places of the Quran that women are or treated women, addressed women equally to men in several places of the Quran. For instance, he said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. People, we have created you from one single male and single female. Allah created you, or people, we created you from one male and one female. And then we made you into tribes and nations so that you would get acquainted with each other. The most honored amongst you are those who are with most piety, most God-fearing. So this is, you know, this ayah first mentions the males and females, that Allah created people from one male and one female, and then He made them into, scattered them into large numbers of males and females, and tribes and nations and so on. And what makes any person, regardless of whether he is or she is a male or female, what makes such a person better before Allah Azza wa Jal is how much taqwa such a person has. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. And he says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. O people, fear your Lord, who created you from one soul, and from it created its mate, and then from them both He scattered many multitudes of men and women. So here again Allah Azza wa Jalla is addressing people in general to fear Allah who created them from and made them into whether it is males or females. And He says, هو الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وجعل منها زوجها ليسكن إليها. It is He who created you from one single soul, and from it made its own spouse so that it will dwell into it. And this again shows that this, the males and females are in fact a pair, which dwell into each other, which, you know, and this ayah doesn't mention that, you know, doesn't favor any of the two sexes as being better or worse. So it is again Islam, what I'm saying, in these ayat, Islam is clearly addressing men and women on equal footing. وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ بَنِينَ وَحَفَدَهُ Allah made to you from your own selves, spouses, and then from your spouses, or through your spouses, He created for you children and grandchildren. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith recorded by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi, and reported by Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, إِنَّمَا النِّسَاءُ شَقَائِقُ الرِّجَالِ, which means, indeed, women are the sisters of men. Sisters, شَقِيق means the brother or the sister who is from the same parents, both the mother and the mother and the father. Okay, so which means that they are very close to men, which means that, you know, this hadith is a hadith that the ulama used to conclude that men, the same rules, the same legislation in Islam which apply to men apply to women and vice versa, except in cases where, exceptional cases which are clearly mentioned to be that there is a difference between the two. Allah Azza wa Jalla in many places of the Quran addressed the believing men and women, and He distinguished them. He distinguished that there are believing men and believing women, and He addressed them in a similar way, like saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا جَاءَكُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتُ مُهَاجِرَاتٍ فَامْتَحِنُوهُنَّ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ, which means, all you who believe, if the believing women come migrating to you, then test them. Test their iman, that is, test if they truly believe. Allah knows best about their belief. If you know that they are believing women, believers, then do not let them go back, or do not send them back to the kuffar. And he says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَا اكْتَسَبُوا, those who hurt the believing males and the believing females without any reason, فَقَدْ احْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا, have indeed carried a great lie, or have invented a great lie, and indeed carried a great sin. And he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمَ, those who tempted and tried to turn away from iman the believing men and the believing women, mu'minun wal mu'minat, and then did not repent, then for them is the punishment of the hellfire and punishment of burning. And Allah Azza wa Jal ordered His Messenger to make istighfar to both believing men and women by saying, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَاللَّهِ تَعَلَى يَعْلَمُ تَقَلَّبَكُمْ وَمَثْوَاكُمْ, which means, know that there is no God, no deity except Allah, and seek forgiveness of your sins and those of the believing men and believing women. So all these show that Allah Azza wa Jal have been addressing the society as, in some cases of course, the ayat come to be, you know, in general, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, or you who believe. And this is, for those who know the Arabic, this is, this can be applied to, even if you are talking about, if you are addressing an audience which is made up of, say, all women, and only one man who are, you know, believers, for example, you're talking to believers, you say, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, or you who believe, even though it is not, this is a male address, an address to males, but by the presence of only one single man, you can address the whole audience as being males. Whereas, if you had all females, it would say, يَا أَيَّتُهَا اللَّوَاتِ آمَنَّا, it would be a different structure. But with the presence of only one single male, even if the male is a boy, you can say أيها الذين آمنوا. This is a correct Arabic structure. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla says أيها الذين آمنوا, what I mean is that this includes males and females, young and old, in this sentence, أيها الذين آمنوا. So the address is to all believers. But sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla even wants to make it more clear by distinctly mentioning males and females, as you heard in these few ayat that I read to you. And Allah Azza wa Jalla also talks about the reward for the believers in general, in many cases. But in some cases He even emphasizes that this applies to females and males, also to show that, to remind that the address is not, in other ayat, is not only specific for men, but equally for everybody. So He says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Whoever does good deeds, whether a male or a female, and he is a believer, then we will give him a good life, and we will reward them by the best that of what they were doing. And He says, مَنْ عَمِلَ سَيِّئَةً فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا, which means whoever commits a sin is not, he will not be punished except by an equal amount, or he would not get except an equal amount of bad deeds counted for him. وَمَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and that who does good deeds, whether male or female, while he is a believer, then the ayah goes on that they will enter the Jannah and being provided for in it without any limit. And so on. There are other ayat, you know, which are similar in meaning. وَمَنْ يَعْمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا. The same, whoever does good deeds, whether male or female, and so on. And He says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. This is at the end of Surah Al-Imran. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنكُم مِّن ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنثَى بَعْضُكُم مِّن بَعْضٍ. Allah answered their dua, their supplication. He said by saying, I will not waste the deeds of anyone who is doing the deeds amongst you, whether a male or a female. You are from each other. بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. You are from each other. And He said in the ayats of Surah Al-Ahzab, He says, إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَالْقَانِتِينَ وَالْقَانِطَاتِ وَالصَّادِقِينَ وَالصَّادِقَاتِ وَالصَّابِرِينَ وَالصَّابِرَاتِ وَالْخَاشِعِينَ وَالْخَاشِعَاتِ, etc. to the end of the ayah. So even though, as I said before, these descriptions are usually come in the Quran to refer to both sexes together, but here Allah Azza wa Jalla, for emphasis, mentions both each one of the two sexes by saying the Muslims and Muslimat, the Muslim men and the Muslim women, the Mu'min men and the Mu'min women, the Qanit, those who have, you know, Qunut and Khushu'ah, Qanit, whether men or women, Sadiq, the truthful, men and women, and so on. He mentions many of their descriptions until he gets to saying with ذَاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا ذَاكِرًا, those who mention Allah frequently, and of men and also of women with ذَاكِرًا. أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Allah has prepared for them a forgiveness and great rewards. And also He said, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْمُؤْمِنَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Allah has promised the believing men and women جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ, gardens under which rivers flow, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, in which they will abide forever. وَمَسَاكِنَ طَيِّبَةً فِي جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ وَرِضْوَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And dwellings, good dwellings in the gardens of Aden, and satisfaction from Allah, which is greater than that, thus indeed the great success or gain. the women, so we see, first of all, we have seen that women and men are equal in the light, in the eye of the Shara, in the eye of Islam. Before Allah Azza wa Jalla, they are equal, and their rewards are similar for having taqwa, for being true believers. In addition, the women are required and permitted, and in some cases required to salam wa rahmatullah, or mostly required and sometimes permitted, that's probably a more accurate way to say it, to participate with the men in what the men are required to do of the sha'air, or the worships in Islam. Except in cases where there has been a distinction, and we mentioned some examples of that. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered that the believing woman be taken out, go out, that they should go out to the aid of prayer. Not only men, but even women who are in their menses, all of them are supposed to go to the aid of prayer. So there's a requirement which the women share men in it. Yeah. Allahu alam, yes, because the hadith is clear. He said, let akhriju, which means take out the women who are in their menstruation. Yashhadna al-khayra wa da'wata. He said, let them stay away from the prayer place, which means do not pray with the rest of you because they cannot pray, they are in their menses. But they will witness al-khayr wa da'wata al-muslimin, which means the good blessings which are in such a gathering, and the khutbah which is given, the dua which is the believers are saying, and the dhikr and so on. Women, of course, are required to fast just like men. They are required to pray just like men, except that during their period, Allah Azza wa Jalla has made it lighter on them, so they do not have to do it. The Hajj is a requirement on both men and women equally. The Zakah is a required worship for both men and women. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. The believing men and women, they are the allies of each other. يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ. They both, that is, both parties, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, enjoying good, وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ, and they forbid evil. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ, and they establish the prayers. وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ, and they pay the zakah. وَيُطِيعُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and they obey Allah and His Messenger. أُولَٰئِكَ سَيَرْحَمُهُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. Those Allah will have mercy on them. Allah is indeed powerful, or glorious and wise. So Allah Azza wa Jalla here has declared clearly that women are the allies of Allah just like men, as long as they fulfill the requirements of deen that are, you know, equally required from both sexes. He confirmed the allegiance of men to women and men to women, which means the believers, all the true believers, are the allies of each other as long as they fulfill the requirements of Islam. This walaya or allegiance is that of brotherhood, of love, and we talked about love a few weeks ago. Mutual help, whether it is financial or social, or in protection when there is an enemy attacking them, or in any other fashion. Except that, of course, women are not required to go in the fighting as men are required. And yet, some of the women of the Prophet ﷺ and his companions used to go out with the armies and stay behind to serve the army by giving them water or some of their other needs, and to encourage the men to go and fight. And it has been reported in Sahih al-Bukhari that Aisha radiallahu anha used to do that, used to carry the water for the fighters in the battle, and some other sahabiyat, some other women of the sahaba, like Umm Salim and others. The Prophet ﷺ took the vows from women, just as he took it from men. So women have a say in the affairs of the Muslim society. He took the ba'ah from them, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُؤْمِنَاتُ يُبَايَعْنَكَ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا يُشْرِكْنَ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَسْرِقْنَ وَلَا يَزْنِينَ ولا يقتلن أولادهن ولا يأتين ببهتان يفترينه بين أيديهن وأرجلهن ولا يعصينك في معروف فبايعهن واستغفر لهن الله إن الله غفور رحيم. O messengers, if or when the believing women come to you, giving you bay'ah, giving you their vows of support and of obedience, that they would not take partners with Allah, and would not steal, and would not commit adultery, and would not kill their children, and would not bring forth any falsehoods, or would not disobey you in any good thing that you command them, then bay'ahunna, give them the bay'ah, give them the bay'ah, give them the vow, and ask Allah to forgive them. Now there is some explanation here of what is the meaning of bayna aydihinna wa arjulihinna, this lying between their hands and their feet, to translate it literally to English. This is about women who used to declare in the Jahiliyyah that one child belonged to her husband when it did not. So she says, this is your son. So that is what it means. So it is, you know, related to adultery and other things that some of them used to do in those times. Of course, you know, the women came and give the bay'ah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he did not. Okay, here is some description of the how that took place. Ubayd ibn Samit radiallahu anhu said, this hadith is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim. He said, we were with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one sitting. They were sitting with him. So he said, tubayyuni على ألا تشركوا بالله شيئا ولا تسرقوا ولا تزنوا ولا تقتلوا أولادكم, which means you give me bay'ah, you give me your vows that you do not take partners with Allah, do not steal, do not commit adultery, and do not kill your children. And then he read the ayah which was revealed in the case of four women. وقرأ الآية التي أخذت على النساء إذا جاءك المؤمنات. And so he read this ayah, and then he said, فَمَنْ وَفَى مِنْكُمْ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, whoever fulfills his vows or his promise, then his reward is with Allah. وَمَنْ أَصَابَ شَيْئًا مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَعُوقِبَ بِهِ فَهُوَ كَفَّارَةُ لَهُ. And whoever commits any of these sins which are prohibited in that ayah, that is, and then he is punished in accordance with the كَفَّارَة, فَهُوَ كَفَّارَةُ لَهُ, which means that will abolish or expiate his sin. وَمَنْ أَصَابَ مِنْ ذَلْكَ شَيْءًا فَسِتَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنْ شَاءَ غَفَرَ لَهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُ. And whoever commits such a thing, does such a thing, and Allah covers him up, that is, nobody knows about it, then it is between him and Allah. If he wills, he would forgive him, or if he wills, he would punish him. So this shows that the Prophet ﷺ, even though the ayah was an address to women, or talking about women coming for bay'ah, but the Prophet ﷺ used it also for men, to tell them how their bay'ah and their vows are supposed to be with him. And it is reported, this hadith reported by Imam Ahmad, or recorded by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, that Fatima bint Atba radiallahu anha came to give bay'ah to the Prophet ﷺ. فأخذ عليها ألا يشركن بالله شيئا ولا يزنين الآية. So he read to her this ayah, إذا جاءك المؤمنات يبايعنك. So when he read this ayah, ولا يزنين, he got to the word يزنين and يسرقن and so on, which is talking about the sins that some women would commit. So it says, فوضعت يدها على رأسها حياء. So she covered her, she put her hand over her head with shyness, feeling, because of hearing all these sins, so she felt shy to hear this. That's you know. فأعجبه مرأمنا. So the Prophet ﷺ was pleased when he saw this. Aisha said, أقري أيتها المرأة والله ما بايعنا إلا على هذا. قالت نعم إذا فبايعها بالآية. Which means Aisha, that when she saw this, the woman was so shy that she couldn't even talk. So Aisha said, say yes, O woman, because this is the vow that we all gave to the Prophet ﷺ. So she said, yes, okay, then yes. And she gave her vow. But I wanted to note a little earlier that even though the Prophet ﷺ gave the bay'ah and all the women came, when the women came to after the Fatah of Mecca, and they gave him bay'ah, including Hind and other women, he never touched their hands. He never touched their hand. And as Aisha radiallahu anha said, وَاللَّهِ مَا مَسَّتْ يَدُهُ يَدَ مْرَأَةٍ لَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ. She said about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Allah, his hand never touched the hand of a woman which is not permitted for him. And he said, إِنِّي لَا أُبَيَّ النِّسَاءَ I do not, إِنِّي لَا أُصْطَفِحَ النِّسَاءَ When they were giving him bay'ah, he said, I do not shake hands with women. You know, when he was giving the, or when the men were giving him their bay'ah, their vows, he would shake his hand with them. And as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ So there was a shaking of hands. But with women, there no such thing, and there was no such thing, and he said, إِنِّي لَا أُصَافِحَ النِّسَاءَ One hint asked him to shake hands with them. He said, I do not shake hands with women. إِنَّمَا قَوْلِي لِمْرَأَةٍ كَقَوْلِي لِمِئَةٍ مْرَأَةٍ Which means, what I say to one woman is as good as what I say to 100 women. Which means, my word is as good for one woman as for 100 women. So there is no need for shaking the hands with me. The women in Islam have the right of education. So far we have been talking about general things that Islam has favored both parties with, men and women, without distinction between them. And now we come to some more specific rights that Islam gave to women. Islam has ordered teaching and educating, and this applies to both men and women. We know the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, طَلَبُ الْعَلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ Even though the term Muslim is not authentic, but the word Muslim is general, which applies to both males and females. So it is a requirement on every believer to seek the knowledge. And we see in the Quran that Allah Azza wa Jal orders, you know, you heard the ayah which we just read about believing men and women, male and female, Muslimin and Muslimat, Mu'minat wa Qanitin wa Qanitat wa Sadiqin wa Sadiqat wa Sadiqin wa Sadiqat. To the end of this ayah from Surah Al-Ahzab, all of these things to be done by any person need knowledge. And this knowledge is a requirement for both men and women if they want to satisfy Allah's commands in the proper way. Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the mothers of the believers to seek the knowledge and to spread the knowledge by saying, وَذْكُرْنَ مَا يُتْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ خَبِيرًا بَصِيرًا Which means, and mention that which is being recited in your houses of آيات الله, of the book of Allah, that is, and hikmah, which is the words of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, the teachings of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, the wisdom, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ خَبِيرًا بَصِيرًا Allah is indeed aware and seeing of what you do. So this here is a command for the mothers of the believers to seek the knowledge of the book and the sunnah, and then to spread it to other people. There is a hadith, I don't find it here, but in which the Prophet ﷺ specifically ordered one of the women to teach some of his wives to write, and to write a special, in particular, a specific dua. Here, a hadith which is recorded by Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaq alayh, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, أَيُّمَا رَجُلٌ كَانَتْ عِنْدَهُ وَلِيدًا فَعَلَّمَهَا فَأَحْسَنَ تَعْلِيمَهَا وَأَدَّبَهَا فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبَهَا ثُمَّ أَعْتَقَهَا وَتَزَوَّجَهَا فَلَهُ أَجْرًا Which means, any man who has a walida, which means a young girl, فَعَلَّمَهُ أَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبَهَا This is referring especially to the women who have been taken captives, like the in the fighting of Muslims with non-Muslims, and when they take captives. So anyone who has a captive woman with him, a captive young girl, and he doesn't, you know, use her as, you know, this hadith is even talking, this shows that even about captive females, not only females, but captive females or slave women, as in the present current day terminology, when we know that only a century or a little more ago in this country, or maybe even up until recently, more recent than that, they used to do all sorts of injustice towards them. In Islam, it's saying if one has a captive woman and then he teaches her, so he doesn't use her in a way, in a harmful way, but rather teaches her. فَأَحْسَنَ تَعْلِيمَهَا So that he perfects her education. He teaches her in a good way. وَأَدَّمَ فَأَسَنَ تَعْلِيمَهَا And then he, educates her in good way, in manners, so that she will be in of perfect manners. And then, when she is old enough to be of age of marriage, then he frees her and he marries her. Whoever does that, he gets a double reward. So he gets a double reward, first for educating her and then for freeing her. That's not his child. It is a captive. No, that is وَرَبَائِبُكُمْ اللَّاتِ فِي حُجُورِكُمْ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ اللَّاتِ دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنْ. That would be the child of your wife that you are not allowed to marry. The child of your wife whom, that is your stepdaughter who lives in your house. That's what the ayah is referring to. This is what you mean. No, this is only about your wife's daughter that lives in your house. And as for your wife's daughter who doesn't live with you, there is some controversy among the ulama, and most likely from this ayah at least, one may marry her. Yeah, your stepdaughter, you can marry her if she is not your rabiba, which means if she is not a person that was brought up in your own house. Well, because there's nothing to prohibit it. Be the sister of your child, but she wouldn't be your actual blood daughter. So, unless she lives in your house, then this, she becomes like a blood daughter for you. She becomes muharrama forever. But if she is, as I said, you know, the ayah is clear, اللاتي في حجوركم وربائبكم اللاتي في حجوركم, the girl that you bring up in your hujur, that is in your house, من نسائكم اللاتي دخلتم بهن, of your women that you have married. So that is where the controversy comes among the ulama, because the ayah specifically said only those who are in your hijr. And the sahaba, some of the sahaba have, you know, clearly indicated that if she is not like Ibn Abbas and others, that if she is not living with the family, then she is not mahram. Not at the same time. But anyway, that's a different subject. As I said, there is some controversy, but Allahu A'lam, the ayah makes the exclusion clear. Okay. Islam gave women equal rights in wealth, in managing their wealth and property to men. And so, he allowed them, for example, to inherit. He allowed them to write wills. And in addition to that, he gave them al-mahr, which is something that men, of course, do not get. And al-nafaqa, what's nafaqa? Islam, of course, doesn't give to men. So she has rights, wealth or money, monetary rights, which, or financial rights, which are in many cases equal to men. In some cases, you know, in some of the divisions of the inheritance, women get less than men. But the ulama have, you know, some explanation why is that so. Why, for example, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنثَيَيْنِ, and فَإِنْ كَانُوا إِخْوَةً رِجَالًا وَنِسَاءً فَلِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنثَيَيْنِ, which means if there is a large number of men and women, brothers and sisters, then the simple rule to divide the inheritance among them is the zakat al hadir al sayyin, which means every male gets double the amount that a female gets from the inheritance. But you know, of course, Allah Azza wa Jalla, who is the most wise, knows how to put things in their right place, and there is a reason for this, and the ulama have, you know, given very satisfactory reasons for this. That's not our subject now. And as you see, in some other cases, women have been favored in what they get from men. And that also has a reason. Everything has a reason in the shara of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, what do you mean is nafaqa, which is a certain amount that is paid after death or after a divorce to support the woman for a certain period of time, for a limited period of time. Yeah. During the adda or... Yeah, basically during the adda. And for the kids, raising the kids, the portion of the for the kids. Yeah, that too, you mean if he is still in his house? Yeah, that's true also. That's also true. That's the wajib, the requirement. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. So he has to provide for her equally to what he would, can provide for his own self. Regardless of what her wealth is. I mean, she doesn't have to, she's not forced to work as they you know, have conditions before marriage in our time that you work, you pay for the bills of, for the house and the bills, and I pay for the food or whatever. I mean, they divide this. This doesn't have a basis in Islam. In Islam, a man is required to take care of all of this. If the woman, you know, feels that she wants to help in this, that is, you know, kindness and generosity from her, but it is not required. And her wealth remains as her wealth. He doesn't have a right to take it from her. No, this is clearly, yeah, you're right. While she's nursing, she also can support, she has to get the nafaqa, or the support from the husband or from the man, as long as she's nursing the baby, as is also mentioned in Surah Baqarah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لِلرِّجَالِ نَصِيبٌ مَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ وَلِلنِّسَاءِ نَصِيبٌ مَّا تَرَكَ الْوَالِدَانِ وَالْأَقْرَبُونَ مِمَّا قَلَّ مِنْهُ أَوْ كَثُرَ نَصِيبًا مَّفْرُوضًا, which means for men, there is a portion of what has been left behind from the parents and the relatives. And also for women, there is a portion, that is the inheritance, of what has been left behind by the parents and the relatives, whether it is little or much. مَمَّا قَلَّ مِنْ أَوْكَثَرَ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا, it is a required portion. It is a wajib, mafruḍ, fard from Allah Azza wa Jalla. You know, there is no need to go into, as I said, into details of inheritance, but definitely this ayah shows very clearly that it is a right for women as well as men to have the mahar, the nafaqa, the earth, the inheritance. For mahar, it is for women, and as Allah Azza wa Jalla says, it's also required. He says, وَآتُوا النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلًا, which means give the women their صَدُقَة. صَدُقَة here, or صَدُقَات, means the mahar, the sadaq, which you give to the woman at the time of marriage. نِحْلًا means a gift that is not to be, you are not to expect a return for it. Unconditioned gift, exactly. النِحْلَة العطاء الذي لا يقابله عوض. Of course, you know, the woman can give up some of their mahar to the husband if they want. I mean, but again, this is part of their generosity. I mean, it is not something required on them. فَإِنْ تِبْنَ لَكُمْ مِنْهُ عَنْ شَيْءٍ مِنْهُ نَفْسًا فَكُلُوهَ نِيئًا مَرِيئًا. If they willfully, out of kindness, alhamdulillah, give you some of it, then you can eat it, هَنِيئًا مَرِيئًا, which means without any problem. Now here, I want to point out also another problem, that in many countries, or in some countries at least, the mahar is not taken by the woman herself, but is taken by her parents, by the father, most commonly. And this is not true in Islam. This is not permissible in Islam. But people do it frequently, unfortunately. This is her own money, this is her own right, and nobody has a right to take it from her or to force her to give it up. Okay, so this is something to watch out. Another thing is that, or they force her, yeah, they force her to use it. She's not forced, I mean, to use it, or they say, I'll, instead of the mahar, I'll give you such and such a thing, which is the furniture that they'd be both using, or some pots for the kitchen, some other stuff. So in that case, the mahar is being given by the husband for both himself and his wife, which is not right. As you heard in the ayah, the word nihla means it is a gift, salaam alaikum. It's a gift which is unconditioned, which doesn't, there's nothing to expect in return for it. If he doesn't give her the mahar. Yeah, it is required. Yeah, the mahar is required in Islam at the time of marriage. Now the amount is varies from person to person. There is no set limit or amount. It could be as little as an iron ring, as in one of the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ, and it could be several uqiyah, which means a certain amount of weight of silver, as the Prophet ﷺ has given in mahar to some of his wives. or some ayat of the Quran as he Allah permitted to one of the Sahaba. But so there is no set amount, but it has to be given at the time of marriage. Okay, talking about marriage, there are other rights which a woman has in marriage and which are usually violated, or sometimes they are violated. One of them is that she has the right to decide whom to be married to. And we know in some of the Muslim countries, maybe this is disappearing now because, you know, women are being less shy and more open, and they outgoing, they go out, they mix with men and so on. But still you find that in many cases, the parents, or especially the father, decides whom he is going to marry his daughter to. And without her permission, without her consent, he just forces such a marriage. And she is shy or afraid to object to this. So this does take place, and this happens in, as I said, in many Muslim countries. This is wrong because, as the Prophet ﷺ instructed, that لا تنكح لأي محتى تستأمر ولا البكر حتى تستأذن, which means the virgin, the woman who is very young, the virgin woman should not be married until her permission is taken. والأيم, the woman who is old enough, who has been married before, sorry, then he may not be married until she gives the command, that is, she tells whom she agrees to marry to. As for the bikr, the virgin, the Prophet ﷺ said, قال يا رسول الله وكيف إذنها, how will we take her permission? He said, قال أن تسكت, by being silent. Or in some other hadith he said, وَإِذْنُهَا سُمَاتُهَا أُصَمْتُهَا, which means her silence is considered as an acceptance from her. And it has been reported that a woman came to the Prophet ﷺ and she said, my father have forced me to marry his brother-in-law so that he would raise the يَرْفَعَ بِي خَسِيسَتَكَ, so that he would improve his financial status by such a marriage. So the Prophet ﷺ said, it's up to you. If you want that is, I'll break your marriage, or your marriage will be terminated. She said, no, I'll let it go, but I just wanted to make it clear, make people understand that it is not up to him to force me to marry that whom I do not accept. Of course, I mean, this kind of permission that the Prophet ﷺ referred to in this hadith is very rare now among women, by silence. And I remember that, you know, I've performed many marriages in which, you know, I talk to the sister from behind the curtain and I say, okay, now I would be representing her, and I say, I say, do you accept the marriage of this person? I said, you do not have to say anything. If you are silent, and I know that you accept. And before I finish even the sentence, he says, yes, I accept. So this silence is not there anymore. Okay, since we are short of time, I have to go very quickly over some of the important things. I try to point out in what I've mentioned so far that Islam treats men and women equally, and they have similar rights and similar responsibilities. So there is no preference for men over women in terms of ibadat, or in terms of worships, nor in terms of the rewards for the worship they do. They are equal in that. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلِلرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. Allah says that men have a rank over women. What does that mean? This is in Surah Nisa. He says, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلِلرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. This daraja or rank, it is explained by the ulama to mean the rank of responsibility for the household, of taking charge of the household. So the man is supposed to be the one who takes charge, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, بما أنفق وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم. وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم means because of what they spent of their wealth. Which means that a man is, the man is supposed to be the one who is in charge of the house and who spends over the house. So that is the daraja, the degree or the rank which Allah refers to in this ayah. And it is not talking about an actual degree or rank in terms of bounty. That is, a man does a deed and a woman does a deed, equal deed, and the man gets a better reward for it. No. They are equal in that, but the daraja, this daraja is the rank of responsibility that Allah gave to men over women. Here is an ayah from Surah An-Nisa. Also Allah Azza wa Jal says about women, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا وَجَعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Which means treat them with kindness. If you hate them, that is if you dislike them, then you may dislike something and Allah would have in it a great good. So if you dislike something in a woman, then remember that there is some good in her. And this hadith explains this. He says, لَا يَفْرَكُ مُؤْمِنٌ مُؤْمِنًا, which means let not a believer hate a believing woman. Harass? Yeah, it carries some of that meaning. Let him not hurt her. That is, hate her to the extent that he would hurt her in any way. Let not a man hurt a female, a believing female, that is his wife. And then he says, إِنْ كَرِهَ مِنَّهَا خُلُقًا رَضِيَ آخر. If he hates something in her, one manner in her, he would like other things. So let him look to her as, look at the good things, look at her as a whole, not without, you know, looking specifically at the negative. Here is an ayah which we were referring to a little earlier. وَالْوَلِدَاتُ يُرْضَعْنَا أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَمَيْنِ مِنْ أَرَادَ يَتُمَّ الرَّضَاعَةِ. This is about nursing, that the nursing women would nurse their children for 2 full years, those after divorce. And then after that he says, وَأَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَمَيْنِ. فَإِنْ أَرَادَا فِصَالًا أَنْ تَرَادِ مِنْهُمَا وَتَشَاوْرٍ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا. Then if they want to separate after agreement and تَشَاوْر, which means consultation amongst each other, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا. Then let, there is no nothing wrong in that. And Allah Azza wa Jal says about believers in general, وَالَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Those who respond to their Lord and establish the prayer, and their matters, their affairs are shura, are in consultation among each other. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and they spend of that which we provided them. So this ayah shows that a general description of the believers is that they do their affairs upon consultation. So they do not, it is not dictatorship. And this is general about the believers, and as we have said, this would apply equally to men and women. So whether it is in the household or otherwise, the women have a say in things, whether you like it or not. So there should be consultation with them in important matters. So we find that men, in many cases, they feel that it is their right to go ahead and make the decision for the house without asking the woman whether she likes it or not. And this is violating, this is overstepping the rights of this partner, of this person who is whom such an action has an effect on her. So there should be shura, and this comes under this ayah, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ مَا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. So a man has, a woman has the right to be consulted, especially in matters which are pertain to her and the house, and the household, and the children. She has the right to be consulted, and she has the right to give her opinion in such matters. And in many cases, you know, the opinion of a person, even if the man thinks that he knows more about the situation, sometimes the opinion of the person who knows less can help in forming a full decision. And maybe many of you have practiced this, that in some cases we consult somebody who is normally of lesser knowledge, but he does give, or she does give, some information that will help to form the final decision. This is part of the goodness of the good manner that the Prophet ﷺ said, In the hadith, he said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ, which means the best among you is the one who is best towards his family, and I am the best towards my family. Yeah, definitely. That's, yeah, exactly. I mean, the consultation, there should be consultation, and the, since the responsibility is the responsibility of the man in the house, as the Prophet ﷺ says, فَالرَّجُلُ رَاعٍ فِي بَيْتِهِ وَهُوَ مَسُؤُ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ, it is his responsibility in his house, and he is going to be questioned about his ra'iyya, about his responsibility. So therefore, it is his duty to make consultation, to take the opinion, and to think, to take it with seriousness, and to think about it carefully, and then to make the final decision, which will affect the whole family. Okay, I'll stop here, inshallah. If there are questions, they can be, I can try to answer them.